I thank the Lord for an associate pastor who can preach the word. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's fitting. Amen. And we're grateful, always grateful to sit under his ministry and hear the word of God, what the Lord has to say to us. And I take it personally. You know, I'm one that when I hear someone else preaching, I don't say, well, Sister so-and-so over there really needs that. Or brother back there, I know he's in bad need of that. No, I say, J.D. Lay, you needed that. Amen? Amen. Give a warm welcome to our associate pastor.
Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. If I have anything, it's from him. Jacob's going to help me out starting the sermon this morning. Go ahead, Jacob, just sing along.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Amen. Did you mean it? Thank you, Jacob. Did you mean it? How many meant it? Yes. All right. Let it shine. That light. You have it. You just sung about it. How many have ever heard of a test light? Well, this is going to be a light test. Let's see if we've got that light. John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:4-5 says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness that this day should overtake you as a thief, but you are all sons of light and sons of the day, because we are not of the night nor of darkness. It's telling us, right? The New Testament's laying it out clearly. 1 John 1:5-7 says, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, hallelujah, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 2:9-11 says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he was going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, I laid a lot of scripture on you, but did you get the message? Yes. He is the light, right? We have the light. We walk in the light. We abide in the light. It's about the light. We have the light if we follow Jesus. Amen? We have the light if we are not of the night or of darkness, sin. We walk in the light. We have fellowship with one another if we have the light, if we're in the light and we love our brother. So did you pass the test? Do you have the light? That was the light test. But Jesus went beyond us having the light. He said in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. Well, he said he is. But we are if we are in him. And he's talking about what we are to do in the title of my sermon, be the light. You are the light of the world, he said. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Well, I hope we're not hiding our light. I hope we're not hiding it from everyone except for we're in the building here. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. That doesn't make any sense, does it? But on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house, his command, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How many see the commission? How many see the command? How many see the orders, right? It's our marching orders. Be the light to the world around you. Don't put it under a bushel. I don't know. I think if you cover a light up like that, what's going to happen to it? I think it's going to go out. Yeah. Don't hide it under a bushel. How's the song? Hide it under a bushel?
No.
Because I'm going to let it shine. So let's look at what it means. We want to be the light. I may want to be the light. Amen. We are to be the light. So let's look at what that means. What are lights used for? Number one, lights are used for guidance. Back to John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We have that guidance. How many love the Bible? How many love the Bible when it tells you something not to do when it's something you want to do? Come on. How many love the Bible when it tells you to do something that you don't want to do?
All right.
Oh, all right. Praise God. So we need the light of the world. We need Jesus to guide us. That's where it comes from. That is our guide. His word through the Bible tells us what's right and what's wrong. We need his guidance. Amen? Because if we're on our own, what's going to happen?
We're going down.
We're going down. Thank you, Bethany. So we need the light of the world. We need Jesus. Without the light, how do we walk? We walk in darkness. Now, what happens when we walk in darkness? What's the danger? How many know making decisions in the dark can lead to some regrettable consequences? Back in the days before electricity, an old farmer was ridiculing his hired hand for carrying a lantern when he went to call on his girl. Why, he exclaimed, when I went a courting, I never carried a light. I always went in the dark. Yes, the hired man said, and look what you got. So walking in the dark can indeed cause regret. Amen. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. So how many have ever walked around your house in the dark? How many have ever gotten up in the middle of the night, say, and like, I don't need to turn on the light. I can find my way. And you found your way, all right. Your little toe found, come on, found a chair. Or I don't know what them little feet on the bed frame are made out of. How many have ever run your little toe into one of those things? Yeah, we learn real quick, or do we? Because sometimes, how many have ever done it more than once? Right? Oh, that'll bring tears to your eyes, won't it? Have you ever done it and you had a little reminder that it happened for a month or two and your toenail was black or fell off? Yeah, walking in the dark can have some very, very bad consequences. You know, it's amazing how much force that you have in just walking and, you know, putting your feet forward. You know, did you ever just like reach for something and run your hand? It's amazing how much force that is. And man, that hurts when you run your little toe into something, doesn't it? So what would happen if you had turned on the light?
You'd miss it.
You would save yourself a lot of pain. Okay, now the funny illustration's over, but that applies, doesn't it? If we walk in the dark, we're going to be in trouble. But if we turn on the light, if we let Jesus guide us, it's going to save us a whole lot of pain. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Walking toward the light. It's a guide. Another story is told of a fellow who stayed at a friend's house way back before electricity. And he had to catch the train to go home. And it got late and it was dark. And he was at the gate saying goodbye. And his friend gave him a lantern. And he said, why did you do that? He said, because if you don't, you're going to fall in the ditch. So he gave him the lantern and he went on his way. And he said, do you see over in the distance, you see that light? He said, yes. He goes, that's where the train station is. So use that light to guide you, right? To stay out of the ditch. But where did he need to keep his eyes? On where he was heading. Get it? All right. Stay out of the ditch, right? A few years ago, actually a lot of years ago, maybe 30 years ago, I was in upstate New York with a friend of mine. And we were in Grafton Forest State Park. This is near Troy, New York, near Albany. Breathtakingly beautiful. Driving on these little narrow dirt roads. And, you know, just absolutely, I don't know how many lakes are in this. But, you know, you're driving and, you know, you see something like that. How many like that? It's breathtaking. And he told me, we're driving. He said, don't get off to the side. The shoulders are soft and it will just draw you right in. So I'm being careful, but then I see something like that. And guess what? I took my eyes off the road for 1 second. I think it was a bridge. There was a little bit of a lake there and there was this beautiful old stone bridge. And I looked at it and guess what happened? I got too close to the edge. Ever been too close to the edge? And that ditch just pulled me right in. And the more I struggled, the worse it got. And I mean, my truck was, my back wheel was buried to the axle. The unbelievable part of the thing is I actually got pulled out by a guy in a little four-wheel drive Subaru. They're hard. I'm like, there's no way that thing's been. I have a motorcycle in the back of my truck, a Harley. And this guy comes by and he goes, I can pull you out. I'm like, okay, but, you know, I'm thinking there's no way this little Subaru is going to. He got me out. Thank the Lord. He got me out. Right? Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to say I learned my lesson, but. So, you know, have you ever been too close to the edge? Have you ever gotten on that soft shoulder? It pulls you in, doesn't it? How about driving in the wintertime? The road may be plowed, but what happens if you get into the slush on the shoulder? What happens if you just touch that? Man, I mean, it's going to draw you in. And that's the way it is with life. If we don't keep our eyes on where we're going, if we don't keep our eyes on the road and have Jesus' guidance, we're going to end up in the ditch of in life. Amen? And that's the way it is in the world. That's the way it is with sin. If we're not keeping our eyes focused on where our destination is, if we don't keep our eyes on the light, if we don't stay focused, that's big trouble. We're going to get drawn into the ditch. And all it takes, just like in my truck, it took literally 1 second. I swerved just a little bit, and it drew me in, and I was stuck. And that's what will happen if we don't stay out of the ditch. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen? We live in a world of darkness. How many know that? We live in a world of darkness. How many know we can be easily discouraged? Yeah. We can easily get off the path into a soft shoulder. Sometimes those things look attractive, right? And we can get distracted and we can get drawn in. And we need, again, to keep our eye on the destination with Jesus in heaven. How many are heading that way? How many, that's your goal? That's your destination? Amen. But again, it doesn't end there. We are also to be the light and guide others. We are to guide those around us who are living in darkness. We are to guide them to Jesus, the light. Amen. We are to point the sick to the one who can heal them. We are to point the lonely to the one who can help them, the one that can comfort them. We need to lead the weary to the one who can give them rest. We need to be that guide. We might say to show them the way. Thank the Lord for peripheral vision. Right? How are they going to know if we don't show them? How many know the world has a need? There are people out there that have a need. They're hurting. They're broken. They're addicted. They need to be shown the way. How many are glad you came to Jesus?
Amen.
And we need to point. We need to help people. We need to, in Sunday school this morning, We're talking about Jesus' compassion. You know, compassion doesn't just mean feeling sorry for somebody. Compassion means doing something about it. Amen? And what's the number one need people have is Jesus. And we need to be the ones. We need to be the light. Say it with me. Be the light. Amen. Secondly, lights are used for warning. Philippians 2:15 says, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. How many know we're there? Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Can't do that if you're hiding it under a bushel, right? The image here is an image of a lighthouse on the seacoast. Now, what's the purpose of a lighthouse? They're placed on a dangerous coast to warn ships of danger and to save them from shipwreck. How many know unsaved people that are on a collision course? They're about to hit the reef. They're about to be shipwrecked. They're about to hit the rocks. We need to be the light and show them. Be the warning. It's a lighthouse. It's a warning to save them. To save them personally, spiritually speaking, from shipwreck. It's our job. It's our job to warn them. I read an illustration about a man who was in charge of a lighthouse. And another man asked him, what if the light goes out? He looked at him and said, the light won't go out. He said, well, how can you say that? He said, because I won't allow it to. I am the keeper of the lighthouse. And if that light goes out, ships could sink. And he told a story of one time when it did go out, it wouldn't spin. And he got as much help as he could, and for several hours, they moved that thing by hand. And I like what he said. What if it goes out? He said, it won't go out. How can you know for sure? Because I won't let it. See, he took his duty serious. We need to take our duty serious.
Amen.
We need to keep the light on. We need to keep that lighthouse shining and warn people of danger. We have to let that light shine. You know, the hymn we sing, Send the Light, it says, there are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Whose job is it to do that?
Ours.
We are to be the light. Amen? There are people who are already shipwrecked. They're in the crashing sea. They're drowning. They're perishing. But they're not dead yet. We need to be the light. We need to rescue them. 2 Corinthians 4, 3-6 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. What's that mean? Perishing. They're dying. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, listen, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Who's supposed to shine the light on them? We are. Remember, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, we are to shine as lights. It says, for we do not preach ourselves. We can't save them, but we have to point them to Jesus. We have to guide them to Jesus. We don't preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Lord, and ourselves, bondservants for Jesus' sake. It's our job to take care of the lighthouse, right? It's our duty. That's our job. We're bondservants. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How many have seen the light? How many can sing, I saw the light, and it's true? You see what that scripture is telling you? It's your job. You've received it. He shined that light on you, and we are to shine it on others, guide them and warn them. What happens when the light shines on them? What happened when it shined on you? You were saved. How many are glad you were saved?
Amen.
Right? So then I have to ask, if that light shined on you, how did it shine on you? In some way, someone shared the light of the gospel. Otherwise, you would have never heard it. Someone, I don't care if you were 10 years old and your mother did, she shared the gospel with you. I don't care if it was a preacher behind a pulpit, he shared the gospel with you. I don't care if it was someone handing out tracts on the street or somebody who made a billboard, right? They shared the gospel with you. It's true, every one of us. And we need to, in turn, do the same. We need to be the light. Is that, you know, is that going to save everyone you talk to, everyone you reach out to? Of course not. One guy said, some people change their ways when they see the light. I did. How about you? Some people change their ways when they see the light. Others only when they feel the heat. And we want to catch them before that happens. Amen. What does it mean to let our light shine? It means to share the glorious good news of the gospel. We are to preach Christ. You say, we don't preach ourselves. We don't preach our church. We don't preach. We preach Christ. He is our only hope. We need to let that light shine. Acts 13:47, Paul, speaking about what he and Barnabas were doing in ministry, by speaking the word of God, amen, which is what we are to do, said this, "For the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Now, were Paul and Barnabas going to the ends of the earth? No, I believe he was speaking to us as well, right? Does that include the ends of the earth? Does that include Smithsburg, Maryland? Hagerstown, Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Virginia, the East Coast, the United States? To the ends of the earth. Now, who did he set as a light to bring them? Paul and Barnabas in this, but it includes us. Amen? He has set us as lights. So we are to be the lights. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's what God has called us to do. He has called us to be a light to the lost. So I have to ask you, will you be the light? Will you do what God has set you to do? He said he has set you. That means he has placed you. There was a story of a young lady who was talking to her pastor, and she worked in a place that was just full of darkness. Just full of darkness. Spiritually speaking. And she said, "I feel so all alone. I have no Christian friends there. They constantly make fun of me. They constantly tease me. The place is just horrible." And the pastor asked her, "Does the factory have lights?" And she said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Where are the lights placed?" "Where it's dark. That's where the light's needed, right? So maybe God has put you in a dark place, because that's where the light's needed." Amen? That's where the light's needed. Thirdly, the light exposes. So it guides, it warns. Thirdly, the light exposes. Mark 4:22. "For there is nothing hidden." You get that? "There is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to the light." The light exposes. Have you ever seen the sun coming through a room, like the beam? What do you see? What do you see in there? Huh? You see all that dust floating around? Can you see it in here? No, but if the light was shining in, you could. It exposes it. You could see that dust in the air. How many like breathing dust? Right? What about your windshield when you're driving toward the sun? Man, it looked clean before you went that direction, didn't it? Man, you get that sun or somebody coming at you at night. Like, man, this windshield is filthy. What's it do? What's the light doing? It's exposing the dirt. It's exposing the filth. Right? That's what the light does. It exposes. John 3:20 says, "For everyone practicing evil," how they feel about the light? They hate the light. They don't come to the light lest their deeds should be exposed. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 5 says, "For you were once darkness." He doesn't say you were in darkness. He said you once were darkness. Wow. "But now you are light." I love it. "Now you are light in the Lord." So there it is again. You are what? Light. Look at your neighbor and say, you are light. I only do that to, you know, make sure everybody's awake. You are light. Continuing that scripture in Ephesians 5. All right, how many are light? According to scripture. Well, let's look at what it says. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's how we're to walk. As children of the light. Verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Well, how do we find out what's acceptable to the Lord? Let's go back to the first point that light. What? Guidance, right? And we get our guidance from where? From the Bible. So we need to be about the business as lights, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. In other words, all right, Lord, I realize you know your light shined on me. I got saved, and now you're saying that I am the light and I have a duty. Lord, show me what it means to be the light. Show me what it means to be acceptable to you. Have you ever prayed for the Lord to search your heart like David did? Have you ever had the boldness to pray, Jesus, search my heart, and if there's anything in me, show me. Have you ever prayed that? It's a good thing to do, isn't it? How many want to know if there's something that's not right and you're maybe not aware of it? I think most of the time we probably are, at least some. So it's good. Search me, Lord. Are we brave enough to do that? Are we brave enough to go before the Lord and say, I'm laid bare before you, Lord. Go ahead, search me. Search my heart. I want to know if there's anything wicked in me. Show me. There's that guidance again. We want to know what's acceptable to you, because we cannot continue in sin. We have to find out what's okay, what's not okay. We cannot continue in sin. We cannot continue in the ways of the world and be saved. Okay, I don't care what the preacher that says, you got your ticket, it doesn't matter what you do, you're cool and you can't lose it. It's not biblical. We have to repent. It means turn around, walk away from your sin, and we cannot continue in sin and be saved. It says, and have no fellowship, listen, no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't be a part of it. Get out of the world. Be separate from the Lord. Be from the world. Be in the world, but not of the world. In the world, why are we in the world? To be a light in a dark place. What does it mean to be of the world? You're doing what they do. You're going along with them. You're doing what they do. Cannot do that. Have no fellowship. No fellowship. Everybody hear that? No fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, I don't think that means we're to walk down the street and, darkness, that's wrong. How do we expose the darkness in the lost?
Just be the light.
Be the light. But how do we show them that there's darkness? The Bible. We show them the law. We show them. And that's what it means to expose that. When you witness to somebody and you're showing them in the Bible that lying is wrong and theft is wrong, you're exposing that darkness. I don't think it means, you know, picketing and screaming at people. Jesus didn't do that. Did he tell the truth?
Yes.
Did he tell the hard truth?
Yes.
Yeah. But he did it in compassion to warn them, because it's not our job, and it shouldn't be our desire to point fingers and yell at people and, you know, say that we're better than they are. We should be like Jesus and have compassion on them and be the light and show them. A lot of people aren't aware that they have that darkness, right? So, for it is, continuing in verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by those in secret. You know, it's sinful to approve of what people do, right? The Bible says, you know, talks about specific sins, and it says, and those who approve. So you don't have to be involved in it. But if you're okay with it, that's a sin. It's shameful to even speak of those things done by them in secret. But all things are exposed or made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest, exposes, right, is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. And Christ will give you light.
Amen.
That's our job. That's our job. Not to say, you stinking, dirty sinner, you wretched, you're going to burn in hell. That's not what it says. Awake. Awake. Rise from the dead. Get out of that darkness. And Jesus will save you, right? And Jesus will give you light.
Amen.
That's the message. Awake. So be the light. To be the light means to expose that dark and to warn them. Awake. Wake them up. Have you ever been driving on the interstate? And someone keeps drifting into your lane, and then they correct it. It's late at night, maybe. Maybe you're up near their mirror and you can see them doing this. What do? Yeah, you do whatever it takes. How many have ever done that? You get up beside me, you flash your lights, you honk your horn. Wake up! Wake up! Why? Because they're going to perish. And they might take a whole lot of people with them. It's the same way with the world. It's the same way with sinners. It's our job to be the light and wake them up. If he doesn't wake up and he drifts into the lane and there's a 30-car pileup and a bunch of people get killed, that's tragic. But how much more tragic is it that people are going to hell? Come on, somebody. Are you awake? Wake up! Right? And so what do? We do whatever it takes, and we need to do that as the light, spiritually speaking as well. Whatever it takes. If it's a family member, write them letters, call them. Keep on them constantly, letting them know that they're in danger. Amen? Co-workers, schoolmates, everyone that you come into contact with. Charles Spurgeon, favorite quote of Charles Spurgeon. Oh, my brothers and sisters in Christ, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay and not to madly destroy themselves. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions. And let not one go there unwarned or unprayed for. I mean, like that. That's my favorite. It's convicting, isn't it? If hell is going to be filled, let it be filled with us holding them back, trying, doing everything we can. I like the teeth of our exertions. That's not a casual thing, is it? Jesus said, Matthew 10:27, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the air, preach on the housetops.
Alright.
What did it say? Preach on the housetops. One of them guys from way, way back when said something, and a lot of people like it. A lot of people like it because I believe they think it gives them an excuse. Witness every day, and when necessary, use words.
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and say, it's necessary. Yeah, we are to witness with our life. Where the Bible says we're living epistles, we're read by men, but never says that's it. Well, if I just live a really good life and I don't do anything wrong and I look real good to my neighbors, they're going to get saved. Really? It's not what the Bible says. Right? How many know it's necessary? How many are going to do it?
Amen.
Shouts I can't control. I got one. Preach from the rooftops. Does Jesus mean he literally wants you to climb up in your housetop? It means he wants you to proclaim the glorious gospel. I mean, imagine what Jesus did for us. Think of the price he paid, what he went through, and his followers refused to tell anybody about it. Right? We need to be that light. Lastly, light has a cheering influence, and so should we. We don't just warn of disaster. We don't just expose darkness. Not just shout from the rooftops. in order to reach people for Jesus Christ. But we are to do what Jesus did. We are to comfort others. We are to have compassion and sympathy for the hurting. A lot can be done with kind words. A lot can be done with words of encouragement. And that's what we are to do. We are to be that cheering light. How many, like, you know, maybe you go visit family and you get there at night and you're driving up the driveway and the light's on. Huh? It sounds like a Thomas Kincaid painting, doesn't it? But it's nice, isn't it? You know, they would say, well, I'll leave the light on for you. What does that mean? It means it's going to be comfort. It's going to be friendly. It's going to be a place. That's what people should see in us. They should be refreshed by us. Man, I like being around Edna. She's always so happy and joyful, and she loves Jesus. And yeah, right? That's how we need to be. That's right. Bill says to you too. Well, we're to have compassion. We're to help the hurting. You know, true religion is what? What did James tell us? To visit widows and orphans in their suffering. To be that cheering light for them. To comfort them. To be like Jesus. To be the light. To help people and reach out to them and love them. No matter who they are, no matter what they've done. Amen? Another quote from Spurgeon says, a Christian's life should so shine that no one could live with him a week without knowing the gospel. His conversation should be that such as which all who are around him can clearly perceive, reflected in his actions, the image of Jesus. How many like that challenge? Yeah, you know, if you're a Christian, no one should be around you for a week and not hear about Jesus. I used to work at Keystone Homes, and I always joke. I hunted when I was a kid, but I kind of got away from it. And then I worked with this guy named Roger, right? And I mean, this guy was all about hunting. That was his thing, all about bow hunting. So I got interested in, and you know, I was talking to him about it and everything, and he was telling me all this stuff. And I used to joke because that's all he talked about. And I, you know, very kind of similar to that, in a humorous way, I used to just tell people, I'm like, you can't work with Roger for 8 hours and not want to go kill something. Not want to go deer hunting. Right? That's the way he was. Can people say that about us? Right? That Richard, man, I had to work with him the other day and all he talked about was Jesus. Right? That's the way it should be. Amen? No one should know you for a week without hearing about Jesus, not knowing that you have the light. And share with them. How many are ready for that challenge? Right? So this little light of mine. What? This little light of mine. Are you? Now in closing, I want you to consider this. You might think that you're just a little light. You might think that you can't do much. You may think that you can't make much of a difference. Now, I want you to imagine a dark street. I mean dark. Now imagine a single lantern. You see that circle of light that it casts? You see it? It may be small. It may not be that bright. But a single flame, a single flame has power over darkness. A single flame of a candle dispels darkness. Darkness has no power over it, but it has power over darkness. So you may think you're small. You may think you have only a little influence. You see what you can do? Now imagine. Well, you know, let's talk about the candle. I missed part. A single flame, a single candle flame, talk about influence, can be seen from at least 1.6 miles away with the naked eye. Isn't that amazing? 1.6 miles away with the naked eye, a single candle flame can be seen. So scientists test it. They went in the Andes and there's some kind of a bridge somewhere, and it's like away from, it's like total darkness. And they measured it. And you can see with the naked eye from 1.6. With 7 by 50 binoculars, I don't think they're really that's not that big. You can see that single candle flame from 10 miles away. Does it have influence? Do you have influence? Yes, you do. That single lamp. Now, imagine that lamp, and then another one 10 feet away, and then another one, 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 amen? And then another one, and another one, on both sides of the street. What happens? What happens to the street? What happens to the area? Light. Darkness is dispelled. Darkness is gone. What is our job? What are we to do? We are to be the light. And imagine if we all do that in our area. Combine together. Be the light and reach people for Jesus Christ. How many know He's coming soon? Imagine if everyone who claims Christ, not just in this congregation, imagine if everyone who claims Christ would be the light. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank You that we know You. We thank You that we know the light. And because of You, Lord, we have the light. We have Your light. Lord, help us to take our duty seriously and be the light. Help us to take that little song seriously, Lord, that I'm going to let it shine. Help us to really let it shine. We live in a lost and dying world, Lord, and I don't believe our time is long. I believe You're coming soon, and there are people who are perishing. There are people heading for that rocky coast, Lord. We need to be the keepers of that lighthouse to warn them, to guide them, to comfort them. Give us strength, Lord. Give us conviction, Lord, to do that. Obedience. That we would be the light. In Jesus' precious name, amen.